Hi, everybody, and welcome once again to our midweek Bible study 2021 edition. Thanks for joining us today. It's good to be with you. Today is Wednesday, January 13th. We're continuing in our new Bible study called Developing My Spiritual Life. And over the course of this study, we're going to be talking about how we can take our spiritual lives to the next level, how we can kick them up a notch, so to speak. We're going to try to answer some basic questions that people have about spiritual growth and maturity. And to that end, I'm going to be preparing a video lesson for you each and every week. It'll be available right here on this media platform, as well as our website, which is www.whccnb.org, in case you miss any episodes. Now, last week, we began the study by talking about talking to God. We're good at that, right? We always have a conversation because generally we've got something we want to ask for. We're always saying something. Today, we're going to be studying the opposite, the idea of listening to God. We'll be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 20 for insight. But as always, before we get there, let's take a moment and ask blessings from the Lord. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for those that are watching today as we study together in your word once again. Lord, we're great at talking, but we're not so great at listening. Help us to understand this key factor in our spiritual life and how we can develop that and get stronger and better at it. For those that are already there, I'm happy. For those of us that are still on the journey, let's continue to get stronger. Thank you for all that you've done and all that you continue to do through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You know, you can tell when somebody's really listening, can't you? They have their body posture. They're really attentive. Nothing else is bothering them. They're just really focused on you. Today's study is going to see if we're truly listening to God. So let's get to it. In that regard, here's an opening question for you. Thinking about this last week, since the last time we were together, did anything happen to you that was encouraging? Was it funny? Maybe it was just fun. Did you happen to have a disappointing moment instead, perhaps? Maybe there was something stressful. Think about this last week. What was it for you? On the upside, I had a situation happen last Thursday where the Lord was so encouraging to me. I had a really difficult and physically demanding situation, and I was really scared. It involved heights, and I was really unsure, but I had a job to do, and it needed to get done. But I talked a lot to the Lord. I kept having this conversation like he's right there with me, like my best friend, you know? And I really felt his encouragement, especially his calming spirit as I was at the pinnacle of the height multiple times. I just felt this presence kind of wash over me, and I knew it had to be him because it certainly wasn't me. But on the opposite side of things, last Wednesday, I was deeply saddened over the events that happened in our nation's capital. That was just a tragedy. It reminded me that we just need to stop talking. We need to start listening, because I really believe the Lord is speaking to us right now and trying to, and we're all yelling and fighting, and there's so much vitriol going back and forth. Nobody can hear. Not many, at least. I think we need to do a better job of that. And that's why this is such a great aspect of developing our spiritual lives that we're looking at today, listening to God. Let's talk for a minute about tuning in to God's broadcasts. Now, last week we talked about how to talk to God. Today we're considering, as I said, how to respond when God wants to speak to us. Now, do you know that where you are right now, there are numerous radio waves that are flowing all around you? Are you aware of that? You're not aware of them, of course. They don't do anything to you necessarily. You're not influenced by them directly in a sense. But if you had the right equipment, like if you had a radio, or if you had some kind of a CB or some kind of a ham radio setup, you could tune into those radio waves and you could pick up numerous broadcasts. Folks, God is still speaking today. He is always at work. He's always communicating. The real question is whether or not we're tuned in to receive his broadcasts. And that reminds me of several questions that we're going to be talking about today and answering. And those questions are, number one, how does God speak? Number two, how do I listen to God? And number three, how do I know if it's God really speaking to me? Three very important questions that are going to help us develop our spiritual lives even more. Now we're going to examine this incredible Old Testament passage about a young boy who has his antenna up and he receives a broadcast from God. Like many of us, the boy was confused about the message and the messenger. So let's get to reading the word. Open those Bibles or Bible apps to 1 Samuel chapter 3, starting with verse 1, going to verse 20. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, "Samuel!" "Yes," Samuel replied. "What is it?" He got up and ran to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go back to bed." So he did. Then the Lord called out again, "Samuel!" Again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you, my son," Eli said. "Go back to bed." Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had not heard a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, "Go and lie down again. And if someone calls you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "I am about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I am going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family, from beginning to end. I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he has not disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings." Samuel stayed in bed until morning. Then he got up and opened the doors of the tabernacle as usual. He was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him. But Eli called out to him, "Samuel, my son." "Here I am," Samuel replied. "What did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything, and may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me." So Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold back anything. "It is the Lord's will," Eli replied. "Let him do what he thinks best." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel did proved to be reliable. And all Israel, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. Now let's take a minute to identify with that story. What an incredible message that is. Based on a typical day, one of the most prominent sounds that you might hear is what? Just think about your day, a typical day. Would it be like a ringing phone? Is that a typical sound that you hear? Maybe machinery? Perhaps children's voices? Maybe just traffic? Or is it music that you hear mostly, repeatedly throughout the day? Maybe it's computer keys clicking. Maybe someone talking. Maybe a voice over the intercom or a loudspeaker or something like that. What is it? On a typical day, what's one of the most prominent sounds that you hear? Well, there's four on that list that come really close for me. They're a phone ringing, someone talking, the clicking of my computer keyboard, and music. The most prominent sound, though, I would think is the clicking of the keyboard because I'm always typing, whether it's notes for a Bible study or sermon notes or responding to an email or creating an email, things like that. Here, I have another question for you. What musical instrument produces the sound most soothing to you? Now, I know that's a little stretch from the previous question, but just follow me here. What musical instrument produces the sound most soothing to you? Would it be maybe a saxophone? Maybe a flute? How about an acoustic guitar? Maybe a tuba? Maybe probably not, huh? A violin, maybe? The piano? Maybe a harp? Oh, man, harp sounds are awesome. Or is there some other musical instrument that soothes you when you hear the sound? There are so many instruments. It just depends on the moment, the combination. Nothing like a violin and a keyboard or a flute and a violin. And there could be lots of different things. But I guess overall for me, the sound that really suits me, unlike any other, is the sound of a piano. just playing soft, smooth sounds. It's just really nice. Let me ask you one other question. Some of the best advice I ever listened to, what? Some of the best advice I ever listened to, did it keep you from making an unwise decision? Did it keep you out of trouble? Did some of the best advice you ever listened to make you a better husband, wife, parent, person, friend? Maybe it changed the direction of your life. Maybe it required that you act in a different way than you were feeling. In other words, contrary to your emotions. Some of the best advice I ever listened to, did it influence your approach to maybe dating or going to school or maybe a career choice that you have? Or did it help you be more successful, or is it something else? Some of the best advice I ever listened to, what? I mean, those are some great suggestions, no question. And they have happened, and they continue to happen in my life. At any one point in time, any of those happen. But the best advice I ever received was to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. That was the, hands down, the best advice I've ever received. And just trust Him with everything. Now, along that line, who was the source of the advice that you received? The best advice you just said, who was the source of that? Was it a parent? Was it a pastor? Maybe a counselor, a friend, a relative? Was it an author or a speaker? Who was it for you? I will never forget. For me, it was then Sergeant James Mobley, United States Air Force. He was my co-worker. Back in 1978, I will be forever grateful that he took the time to share that advice with me. Life-changing advice that it was. It just shifted the trajectory of my life to where it is today and continues. And I will always be grateful. So let's answer that first question. Remember those three questions I said we're going to take care of today? Let me answer that first one, okay? It's called, in our study of listening to God, it's how does God speak? That's a great question. I've heard that many times. Maybe you've even had to ask it too. Well, what are some ways that God creatively communicated His message through the Bible? Think about the Bible in its entirety, not just in our scripture in 1 Samuel today. Think about ways that God creatively communicated His message in the Bible. You got to stop right now. If you need to pause the video, that's cool, because I had to stop and I needed to take time because there's a whole bunch of things. I've got quite a few here that I want to share with you, and they'll probably match ones that you have too. And maybe you'll have some on your list that I don't have, but there are lots of things. If you start in Genesis, what about the rainbow? Look at Genesis 9, a rainbow communicated from God to Noah's family. Then in Exodus chapter 3, the voice in the burning bush, remember that? Talking to Moses? Yeah. Judges 6, there was an angel that spoke to Gideon. And then in Exodus 7, chapter 7 through 12, there were the plagues, and they sent clear messages from God to Pharaoh. Numbers 22, a donkey speaks to a prophet who is off the track slightly, let's say. Daniel chapter 5, there was a handwritten message that appeared on a wall. Genesis 37, a dream comes true for Joseph. Daniel chapter 4, a dream is interpreted for Nebuchadnezzar. Acts chapter 20, verses 22 and 23, the Holy Spirit warns Paul of some upcoming adversity. And then in Acts chapter 27, verses 23 to 26, an angel of God speaks to Paul. And then in Acts 16, Paul's given a vision of the man from Macedonia. And Revelation 1, God reveals end time events to John. I'm sure that you have others as well, but those are some really creative ways that God communicates His message to us. So clearly, God is a very clever communicator. He's a creative communicator, and He utilizes unique methods to communicate to His audience. Now, I think there's at least four ways that God communicates to us today. What are they? Think about that for a minute. Four ways that God communicates to us today. Well, the first one clearly is the Bible, the Word of God. The Bible is the inspired Word of God, and it carries His authority. God most readily communicates through His already revealed message, which we may receive reading or we may hear it. The second is the Holy Spirit. Christians may have a thought, an impression, an inclination. Maybe you have that, what the world calls a gut feeling. I'd like to say that's the Holy Spirit working in a believer. And we sense that it's initiated by God through His Spirit, no question. And I think the third is circumstances. God often works through events and circumstances to communicate truth and to provoke us to make changes. And the fourth way that I believe God communicates with us today is through other people. The book of Proverbs declares there is wisdom in many counselors. God uses other people to speak his messages to us or to confirm the authenticity of the message as we interpret it from any of the other three sources. No question about that. So with that in mind, let's answer that second question that we talked about in the very beginning regarding listening to God, and that is, how do I listen to God? Well, if God spoke in an audible voice, it would be all over. There wouldn't be any problem. We wouldn't have an issue with understanding what he wants. No complications, except for maybe, well, I didn't want to hear that. But you know what I'm saying? If he spoke in an audible voice, there wouldn't be any doubt. But since God communicates with us through the Bible and his spirit and through circumstances and other Christians, listening must be focused. It's got to be intentional. So how can you prepare to listen to God? That's a great question. I think there's two really key components to that. I think that listening to God involves preparation and anticipation. Let's talk about preparation. An important part of preparation is being still and being quiet before God. Now that sounds great, isn't it? But how hard is that? One of the greatest challenges we face in this breakneck speed culture of ours is to slow down and be still. It's like if we be still, we're afraid we're missing something. We got to keep going and keep busy. The preparation to hear God should prompt us as well to confess any known sin. Because folks, if you have unconfessed sin in your life, it's going to block your communication. And if you have sinned against somebody else, if you're holding something against somebody else and you haven't forgiven them, that's going to block your conversation with God as well. You've got to confess your sin to God. It clears the way for dialogue. Sin that has not been acknowledged, has not been forgiven through prayer, will create static on the line. Y'all know what static is like? It's not fun when you hear it, because then you have trouble hearing the person on the other end. When you confess that sin, it's gone. Now in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, the psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you." Sometimes I'm not entirely sure what I've done. I know in my spirit that something's wrong, but I can't necessarily put a name to it or put a situation to it. I don't know, but I'm asking God that very same question. And that's what the psalmist did. And that's what preparation's all about. Here's the thing. In anticipation, we've got to want to hear from God. All right? Anticipation is wanting to hear from God and realizing that God is not obligated to speak on the topic of our choice. Because we realize that whatever God says is wise, it's true, and it's loving, and so we should long to hear from him, right? In verse 10 of the text for today, Samuel says to the Lord, "Speak, for your servant is listening." That's what I want to do consistently. I don't always do that consistently. I'm working on it. Maybe we all can work on it together. Samuel demonstrates a readiness and an anticipation for the Lord's message. Do we demonstrate the same? Preparation involves more than just making ourselves ready to listen. It also involves making ourselves ready to respond. In Samuel's case, the Lord gave him an unpleasant insight about Eli and his sons, a message that Samuel was reluctant to repeat. Yet Eli persisted, and as it said in verse 18 of the text, Samuel told Eli everything, didn't hold anything back. Lastly, let's get to that third question that we're talking about today regarding listening to God, and that is, how do I know if it's really God speaking? That is an awesome question. Sometimes we get an impression, maybe we wonder, is that really God or is that from me? I learned that from an elder many years ago, and I just learned from this man and absorbed so much. And he said, you know, sometimes I'm not sure if it's from God or from me, so I'll go backwards and rule me out so that I know that it was God, or then I'll realize it was me. He had a really kind of an interesting way of going about it, but he taught me to really ask that question, because sometimes I'm not sure if that's just me talking or if it's the Lord. Samuel did not recognize the voice as God's, thought it multiple times to be Eli's. That's because he didn't know the Lord yet. And as we seek to hear from God, there's a need to confirm the source of the message. So how do we know that the message we're receiving is truly from God? Well, first of all, a genuine message from God will not conflict with his clear, unchanging messages in the Bible. Charles Stanley once stated, God's voice will never tell us to engage in an activity or relationship that is inconsistent with the Holy Scripture. And Dr. Stanley is absolutely right. It's got to line up with the Word of God. So a personal word to you will not contradict God's written word that's already there for us. Secondly, when there is doubt, or even if there isn't doubt, the wise man or the wise woman seeks godly counsel and requests honest feedback. The writer of Proverbs emphasizes that there's wisdom in many counselors. A friend, a pastor, a counselor who knows the Word of God, who knows the Bible truth, and who knows and loves you is a treasure to have. Seeking feedback also delays taking action, and that can be a good thing. Oftentimes, postponing an action, postponing a decision, brings further clarification from God's Word, from godly counsel as well, and from the developments and circumstances that may be surrounding the whole situation. So there's the answer to those three questions. So what have we learned so far? What can we learn from all of this thus far? Considering those four sources we just talked about a little bit ago, which of the four sources through which God speaks do you most understand, or do you understand the most? And which of those do you understand the least? Remember, those four sources God speaking to us is through the Bible, the Holy Spirit, circumstances, and other Christians. So which of those do you understand the most, and which do you understand the least? I'd like to think that I understand God speaking through the Bible the most. It's right in front of me. It's in black, white, and red, of course, when Jesus is speaking. And I think that that part of it, especially in a study Bible, you've got other commentary, things to help you understand it. It makes sense to me more. As for the least, mostly through circumstances and other people, but it depends on the situation. And sometimes I'll ask myself, is that God or is that me? But mostly, like I said, it's the Bible. Another question for you. What is your greatest obstacle in hearing from God? For some people, it's a lack of silence, or a lack of stillness, rather. It's like they can't slow down, and that's an obstacle in hearing from God. Sometimes it's a lack of solitude. In other words, I don't like being alone, or it could be a lack of silence. You know, some people aren't accustomed to being quiet, and got to fill that quietness with something, some kind of noise. For me, like I said, the answer is one word. It's me. I'm my greatest obstacle. I am the greatest obstacle from hearing from God. And that can be my pride. It could be my sin. It could be any of all of those possibilities that I just mentioned. Because when I get out of the way, when I confess my sin to God, especially when I turn off my electronic devices, when I close the door in my office or whatever room I'm in and just do nothing, then I generally hear from Him. I could even be in the car if I've pulled over and windows are up, engine off. I can usually hear. It depends on how, when He chooses to answer, but when I can reduce all the other stuff, I can hear. So let me conclude today. We've come a long way through this study so far, but let me recap the journey that we've been on in listening to God today. We've studied an excellent scripture. I would encourage you to go back and read this story again in 1 Samuel. It really sets the standard for how we can listen to God, especially understanding that when God's calling, Samuel couldn't hear at first because it said he didn't know the Lord personally, but then he did when he answered, "Yes, Lord, your servant's listening." I hope we can answer that when he calls next. We talked about how does God speak? We answered that. How do I listen to God? We answered that. And how do I know if it's really God speaking to me? We just talked about that too. So to bring this all to a close, I want to share with you three things that you can do this week to help you listen to God. And if you already do these things, outstanding. But if you don't, just try them. Try them for a week. I promise you they will change the trajectory of your spiritual life. First thing is, slow down. You know that old song, "Slow down, you move too fast." That was not a Christian song, but it applies to what we're talking about today. Slow down and be still enough to hear God by setting a specific appointment to spend time with Him each week. Christian physician Dr. Richard Swenson insists that we do not allow, quote, margins, end quote, in our schedules. Take a look at any page in your Bible. Just take a look at it right now. you'll see that it has margins. You know there's space at the top, the bottom, on the right, and the left. Now, providing margins is not the most efficient use of paper. If you didn't have margins, you could fit more words on the page. You could eliminate the margins, and that would save paper. But without margins, a page would be almost intolerable to read. Likewise, when you leave no margins in your schedule, we fill them up from top to bottom, left to right. We don't have time anymore. We can't slow down. There's no way to stop and hear God. And so, here's what you can do. Set at least one specific appointment for you and God each day. Set that time and protect it. Protect it like you protect that appointment for your haircut, like you protect that appointment to get your nails done, like you protect that doctor's appointment or that dentist's appointment. This is more important than any of those, beloved. Set and protect that appointment with God. In other words, set it and protect it. Here's the second thing you can do. Choose solitude in order to listen to God by scheduling some time alone this week. Now, you're probably sitting there thinking, you don't know my life. I don't have any time. I only know this. Married adults, especially those with children, often don't have much time, little solitude, if any. Single adults frequently have solitude, but often interpret it as loneliness. They don't recognize that the great gift of this season of life provides an incredible opportunity and resource that many married adults and single parents really long for. Speaking very practically, what would it take for you to seize some solitude this week in order to meet with God? What would it take, practically speaking now? You and I have the same 24-hour period in each day. God gives us both that. Identify a time in your schedule this week when you can carve out at least 15 minutes. I'm not asking you for half an hour or an hour. 15 minutes of quiet, uninterrupted solitude. If you have to put the timer on your clock or your phone on, that's fine. But set aside a time for uninterrupted solitude. That may mean getting up 15 minutes early in the morning. It may mean staying up about 15 minutes later in the evening. It may mean hiding out during your lunch hour or escaping for that time, even just during the weekend on a Saturday or Sunday or whenever your weekend falls based on your work schedule. Sit down with your Bible, a pen, and I suggest a journal or a pad of paper if you don't have a fancy journal book or anything like that. Begin your time by inviting God to speak to you. And when you do that, that means you be quiet. Let him talk. You might even pray Samuel's words, "Speak to me, Lord, your servant is listening." Ask God to speak to you about an issue that concerns you. Just remember, be willing to listen and respond if God has another agenda. Remember, he's not obligated to respond just because you've asked him in that particular way. Write impressions in your journal. Write them down on your paper and keep them going. Try that. Do it for a week. I'm telling you, it's going to change everything. And here's the third thing. Become comfortable with silence so that God can be heard by living without the radio or TV or MP3 player or Alexa or at least a half an hour each evening, if you can do that. When my grandkids are over on a Saturday night before we go to sleep on Sunday, got to get up early for church Sunday morning, we have about a half an hour cool down time in the evening where we just turn off the TV and we just sit. It is so hard for them to just sit. It's so hard for me to sit just sometimes as well. Christian author Dallas Willard notes that even when we have the rare opportunity of solitude, many people have an aversion to silence and prefer to surround themselves with sound, mainly music or television. He writes, and I quote, "Silence is frightening because it strips us like nothing else does, throws us upon the stark realities of our life. Think what it says about the inward emptiness of our lives if we must always turn on the MP3 player or TV to make sure something is happening around us," end quote. Folks, silence is imperative. How can we possibly hear from God if we're not listening? Like I said in the very beginning, there's too many things happening in this nation today, too many people talking, yelling across the table at each other. You can't hear when that happens. It's not as though we can suddenly recognize and take a call from God when our ears are filled with the voices of others and our minds are focused on competing sounds. Something has to give. So try for at least a half hour every evening to just close down before you go to bed, before you go upstairs, take your shower or get ready for bed. Just cut it down for about 30 minutes prior. Just quiet. Just quiet. Try riding in your car with the radio or the CD player, MP3 player off. During your appointment with God, make sure that you not only have stillness, but solitude and silence. And just be. Going to notice a difference, I promise you. Folks, that's all the time we have for our study today about listening to God. I hope you found it encouraging, insightful. I hope you found it challenging. Please join me again right here next week, same bat time, same bat channel, as we talk about the next step in developing our spiritual lives by connecting to a spiritual community. Hope until that time you have a blessed rest of your day and week. Thanks again for joining us. Stay healthy. God bless you.